And folks, and we cover the history of the Mennonites, how they were formed back in Europe, in Switzerland, and then they went to North America, and in 1805 and 1806, they relocated to Waterloo County and Woolwich. Folks, this hour and 15-minute tour covers the history, the old order, the moderate, and the progressive.
Despite the black hats and coarse black suits worn by the men, the bonnets and ankle-length dresses of the women, the odd German dialect they speak amongst themselves, their horses and buggies. The Old Order Mennonites are more than a tourist attraction. Theirs is a thriving community with a story to tell. The movement originated in Switzerland in the 16th century, born of the Reformation. The followers were first called Anabaptists or Rebaptists because they were opposed to infant baptism. It later split into subgroups, and the Mennonites were one of these groups which eventually migrated to North America due to religious persecution, the worst of which took place in Switzerland. Today, after further splits, one of the most traditional are the Old Order Mennonites. In Canada, like the United States, they lead by choice separate, if not isolated, lives. They set the rules they live by and make many of their own laws, largely shying away from the modern world. But why do they remain so loyal to the foundations of their faith which were laid down in Switzerland more than 400 years ago? Sam Steiner is an archivist at Conrad Grable Mennonite College at the University of Waterloo in southwestern Ontario.
We generally say that the Anabaptists started in the Zurich area, that they were followers of Ulrich Zwingli, but felt that he didn't go far enough in his pursuit of the Reformation, that he was too accommodating to government, allowed government to still have too much say in personal faith life of individuals. And so they separated themselves from the government, which then created the conflict with government because they were seen as somehow revolutionary.
He showed me some of the college's most prized possessions, including a 17th century edition of the Martyr's Mirror, chronicling the trials of faith of early Christians and the first Anabaptist martyrs.
They stay in nice shape. The paper of earlier years was much better. So you see the actual wood board binding and so forth. This is the book that tended to be in all Mennonite libraries. You had a Bible, you had a hymn book, and you had the Martyr's Mirror, because this was the story of your faith, so to speak.
The first Anabaptists were persecuted because they called into question the authority of those in power. By rejecting infant baptism, they rejected the state church, which registered births through the ceremony. By refusing to swear an oath, they challenged the courts, and through their pacifist beliefs, deprived the mercenary armies of soldiers.
The first martyrdom happened in Zurich. Felix Mons, who was a young biblical scholar that had studied with Zwingli and so forth, was drowned in the Limit River because he refused to change his views. Later, persecution tended to be more in the sense of not being allowed to hold property or perhaps being exiled. If you didn't go to the state church, you wouldn't be allowed to register the birth of your children. So consequently, all your children were illegitimate, therefore unable to inherit property.
Today, watching the Old Order Mennonites in their horse-drawn buggies on their way to town, it's somehow easy to imagine the long trek of their ancestors from Switzerland to Pennsylvania and then north to Ontario. They came to North America at the invitation of William Penn, who promised them religious freedom. But some Mennonites felt their traditional style of worship was being influenced by other Christian settlers, as one senior member of the community relates, who consented to an interview on the condition that he remain anonymous.
Modernism. Again, in that pioneer spirit, there was no modernism. As the years progressed, there was more indirect affiliation with other churches who were not as interested in preserving the old traditions.
This led to a split within the community in the last century, with the people of the Old Order shying away from all these influences. This fear of outside interference eventually led to their decision to reject fashionable dress and, on a case-by-case basis, many modern innovations.
We feel the danger is too great for having a car standing our door. In a history textbook that I have, there's a quote in the 1920s. It says, American sociologists agree that the advent of the motor car had a greater effect in losing out on the pre-war moral standards of the country. One of the reasons is because it made it too easy to get away from the watchful eye of the parents.
He showed me around his farm where the plows in the fields are pulled by horses, and the barn, unlike those most farmers keep today, was absent from machinery, letting the roosters and pigs and cattle rule the roost.
This is the hog industry, and then it's the poultry industry.
Out back behind the barn, we surveyed the surrounding farms. Sandwiched between his family's holdings and property belonging to another member of the old order was a conventional farm. Mennonites outnumbering ordinary Canadian farmers is, in some parts of southwestern Ontario, the rule rather than the exception. An average old order family has 8 to 10 children, which has led to an explosion of the community's population and to a high demand for farm property. Though they may disagree on how to till the soil, relations between the Mennonites and non-Mennonites remain good.
I'd say there's no problem. After all, the non-Mennonite will want to sell to the Mennonite eventually, and he'll want to build up good relationships to be able to get a good price.
We sat down in his home to talk further, where his wife was busy using a pedal-operated sewing machine to make a quilt, which often are sold to tourists. He told me their lifestyle and beliefs were true to early Christian teachings.
We do know that our strong tenets of faith compare favorably all the way through with the early Christian writers in the 2nd and 3rd century. We have customs that people find strange, but then older people remember it was the same in their churches. We sit in church, we sit segregated, women on one side, the men on the other. Our little boys wear dresses for the first year, which is strange among the general people, but it was a common thing years ago.
The Old Order Mennonites don't exercise their right to vote. They don't take out insurance of any kind or pay into the state-run pension plan, relying on family and community support in time of need. As one story goes, the community rebuilt a barn belonging to a local Catholic farmer after it burnt down. The Catholic farmer said his neighbors had proven to be better than insurance. One of the few places members of the Old Order community have contact with other Canadians is at a local market. 75, 78, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, 80, selling their cattle at the livestock exchange. Shoppers buy fresh produce and meats from the hundreds of stalls, and tourists are the best customers of the Mennonites, selling maple syrup from the back of their buggies. St. Jacob's itself lives from tourism, with a museum devoted to the movement, a mock blacksmith and artisans selling their handicrafts, profiting from the desire of the tourists to experience a bygone era, an era where they believe the Old Order Mennonites still exist.
Well, location helps. A lot of people watch us make the brooms, and they enjoy watching an old trade. And they seem to enjoy it, and they buy brooms. And we charge more for a product, but we make a better quality, and we'll latch longer and sweep better.
If it's Mennonite, that's a key aspect, whether they want it or not. If it was hand-stitched anywhere else, it would be as relevant as if it was a locally handmade Mennonite quilt from the area. That's a very, very big feature to the quilts.
Are you ready? Here.
One domain where the tourists have little access is to the community schools. Children remain in school until the eighth grade, about 13 years of age, then do an apprenticeship on a farm or under a craftsman. All the grades are taught together in one or two classrooms. In the classroom I visited, a timeline was drawn above the windows, and just after Columbus and the 1500 line were the words "The Swiss Brethren," emphasizing the founding of the Anabaptist movement. The teacher said the movement set up its own school board about 30 years ago because it felt the public educational system was leading its children astray.
There's an end that we are after, and that is to raise children that are morally sound, spiritually sound, and so on. So with that background, I'm still teaching math. I'm still teaching the 2 times 2 is 4, but if somebody cuts up, then he is disciplined.
Michael? Okay, if you say ouch, then that's not quite this sound. If you say ouch, then that's that sound. Is this ouch in English?
For our lifestyle, for what we're after, we're not training future college students. We're not preparing them for college. We're preparing them for the farm.
I didn't hear the last sound. Try a little harder.
How?
But the first one is, I heard the last sound this time. Tell me.
How?
I've told my pupils sometimes that, you know, there are a lot of people out there in society that think that you just yearn for the cities and for television, and they all actually laugh. We aren't raised that way.
We say bomb in Pennsylvania, or no? That's not hydro. That's what we go for. Where is the new order in there? Are you ready? Together?
Sure. Our schoolroom windows are open, and a car stops out here with the radio blaring. They hear that, and they smile at each other. They do see the world as kind of glittering like gold, and they have to learn. We try to teach them that all that glitters is not gold, but as a whole, no. I get good compositions when I ask them to write why they wouldn't like to live in the city.
The church or meeting house remains the focal point of the Old Order community. There are no parking spaces outside, only hitching posts for horses. Church deacons lead the service in Pennsylvania German, and hymns are sung in High German without instrumental accompaniment. And here a council listens to concerns of members and sets the rules that the community is to live by, and has lived by for hundreds of years.
The more modern religions said, it doesn't matter what you do as long as the heart is right. The Old Order Mennonites said, if the heart is right, then the rest will become right.
We have to keep in mind the salvation and the promotion of scriptural values is the aim. And the culture is just the means to that end. The separateness from society is a way of avoiding the evils in society, and therefore we have a fertile ground, let's say, to promote our own values so that society's values don't become such an intricate part of us.
They left Switzerland hundreds of years ago and began the long trek to North America, where they now live like they would have liked to in the birthplace of their ancestors, the Swiss Brethren. They found what they were looking for, despite what many would see as contradictions in their lifestyle and the curious stare of the tourist.
We don't like being exploited, but we do make quilts for the tourists.
And we cover the history of the Mennonites, how they were formed back in Europe, in Switzerland, and then they went to North America, and in 1805 and 1806 they relocated.